is the most sinful man in the Old Testament? Who is the most sinful man in the Old Testament? No. It was Moses. He broke all Ten Commandments at once. That was too easy. Usually I would do Bible trivia, but I'm going to do something a little different tonight. We were sitting down doing a devotion with our kids. I think it was Monday. Monday. Today's Wednesday. And one of the devotion was called Pop Pop. It's about popcorn. And the illustration was a kernel of corn that didn't get popped in a bag. And it went on to tell us that that kernel of corn is us as an unsaved Christian. Corn has moisture in it. And when it's heated up to a certain temperature, it pops and turns into something beautiful and wonderful. Just like our lives. When we get touched by Christ and saved, we're no longer that hard shell of a kernel. We're now a beautiful creature in Christ. No longer looking the same, no longer tasting the same, but we're still made the same because we were once corn. But now we're right with Him. Kernel of corn. What a wonderful way to look at this. Romans chapter 1. Verses 15 through 18. Once you find your place, go ahead and stand. Actually, 14 through 18, sorry. And the Word of God says, I am a debtor, both to the Greek, to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth unrighteousness. Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, for your word. Lord, we thank you for your love and for sending your dear son, Jesus Christ, down to earth. Lord, this is a season that we celebrate his birth. But Lord, we also celebrate his death, his burial, his resurrection, where he came for one intended purpose, and that was to save all mankind. Lord, we thank you for his sacrifice. Father, if there's a lost one here tonight, how we pray for that one salvation. Lord, just bring them to their knees. Show them who you are. Lord, we do lift up our pastor and his wife. Give them journey and mercies as they travel back on Saturday. Be with the time that they're spent with their family. May it be blessed. Lord, would we pray for you to be with us tonight, Lord. Hedge us about and protect us. Lord, help us to glean and learn from thy word. Lord, hide me behind the cross and give me the words to speak. Bind my tongue that I shall not say nothing that you would not have me to say, Lord. Lord, we pray that everything is said and done and be honoring and glorifying to your dear Son, Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. A debt, by definition, means something, typically money, that is owed or due. But if you look at the origin of the word, which comes from Latin, debtum, it just simply says something owed, has nothing to do with money. It means simply that you owe something to someone or something. they did or they gave you. I would venture to say that we all owe money to someone, whether it be for your house, your car, your cell phone bill, cable bill, something that we pay monthly. We all owe some type of debt. Most, I would venture to say, pay your bills on time or make every effort to do it. If you were late, I would venture to say that you might be ashamed or embarrassed that you couldn't meet it that month. How about if the bill collector was to come and knock on your door to collect money from you? Would you be embarrassed or hang your head down? Lack of money causes a lot of stress and issues in our life. No one with the right heart likes to be behind on what we owe. We feel guilty. We even might try to scrounge and find whatever we can to pay the debt before it's too late. I've even known friends that would call the bill collector up and say, "Hey, I'm behind this month. Please don't turn my stuff off. I'm trying." Children of God, we're behind on a debt that we owe to our Savior. You argue salvation is free. Yes, it's free. It's a gift of God. I wouldn't argue back. If it's free, then how do we owe anything? It was free for the taking. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But once you are saved, you now owe your life to the one who gave his life for you. As I was sitting and typing out this message and studying, this message took me quite a while to put together. I struggled. Every little thing distracted me. Every noise. But as I was sitting there, I wrote a poem. I think most so-called Christians must think in their lives today. If they don't think this, then I don't understand why more or not serving God. This is a thought that I had, and I'm afraid it's true. It goes like this. I am saved by grace and kept by His promise. I owe nothing to Him because the gift is free. Now that I'm saved, my life I live for me. I owe nothing to Him, for there was no cost. And sin I walk with no care in the world. For when I die, heaven's gates will open wide. I will let the people I know go to hell. For I am saved from above and do not care. Why should I bow my head or bend a knee to serve the one that died for me? I'm taken care of. It was paid in full. I owe no debt. Afraid most Christians today, that's what they believe. Because if they didn't believe that, the more would be out on the harvest field today working. More today would be in the seats of the church tonight, wanting to worship and praise God Almighty. But instead, they're at home, comfortable, rested on their blessed assurance, accepted their free gift, not paying back the debt that they owe. Yes, salvation is free to all that will open the door and let Him in. No, there's nothing that you can do to earn salvation. There's nothing anyone can do except believe in the name of Jesus Christ and repent from their sins. But as Paul says many times, God forbid that we stop there. But there is much that we owe. Romans 6, 1 through 2 says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein?" Romans 6:15. "What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? God forbid." You know why God's children are struggling today? It's because they look and act like the rest of the world. You know why the churches are failing? It's because what's on the inside is no different than what's on the outside. This is why everyone thinks that they are saved, because no one can tell the difference between a saved child of God and the world. God forbid. We owe a debt, and we need to get started paying back. We need to get started looking like, acting like, smelling like a child of God and not like the world around us. Everybody look at Romans 1:1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. The true meaning of the word servant rendered here means slave. And we all know there are no longer called apostles. But today we are called to be disciples of Christ. I want to reread the verse in a different way. Mind you, I would never change the word of God. But just like we throw in our name when it says whosoever. Imagine if this verse went like this. Jacob, a slave of Jesus Christ, called to be a disciple, separated into the gospel of God. How about this? Brother Garrett, a slave to Jesus Christ, called to be a disciple, separated into the gospel of God. Miss Carol, your name goes there. Brother Norman, your name goes there if you're saved today. Randy, your name goes there. Betty Lou, your name there. Went there a long time ago. Paul, a servant, called to be separated, called to preach the gospel of God. I know that slavery ended a long time ago. I know that everyone looks at slavery as a terrible thing. There's nothing terrible about Christ. There's nothing sinful about our Savior. If the Apostle Paul says that I am a servant, meaning slave of Jesus Christ, then each of us should have a desire to be the same. Being a slave to Christ is no more than being sold out, 100% committed to Him. The verse goes on to say, called to be an apostle. We are called to be disciples, John 8:31 and Luke 14:27. He goes on to tell us that he gave up his previous life and is now solely dedicated to the gospel of God. Why? Because Christ saved him on the road to Damascus. And he's trying to pay a debt that he owes. Verse 1 is simple. Form says, I am saved, I owe it all to Christ. And now I'm called to serve, and I'm committed. Are you committed today? If you're saved, you've been called. You saved your debt to Christ. If you are a child of God, then you are saved. And you owe all to Christ. You have been called to serve, and you need to be committed to the cause of Christ. Are we there yet? Are we committed? We are easily sold out to the things that we like to do. So does that mean that we just don't like or love Christ enough? That's not true. We love Christ. He's our Savior, right? How dare I insinuate that? Well, how dare our lives show that, because that's what it's doing right now. It's showing that more things are important than Christ. It's showing that the world has more of our attention than Christ does. We're willing to give up our time to do the things out in the world. We won't give Him but a few hours a week. We can humble ourselves to get to a point in our lives that we understand that our lives belong to Christ. And that we willingly should be a slave to Him, meaning serving Him, being committed to Him. That we can begin to understand that we owe everything to Him. Point one, who do we owe? Verse 14 says, Paul says, I am a debtor both to the Greek and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. Paul says, I have a burden to these people. I feel responsible to the Gentiles to give them the gospel. By the grace of God, I was saved. I have been called. now I owe it to all these people to give the same message that Christ gave me. We also have a group of people that we have been called to give the message, the gospel to. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. All power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you. And lo, I am with you always. How about Acts 1:8? But you shall receive the power, and after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. Earth. And I'm a pretty simple-minded person, but that sounds like everybody in the world needs to hear the gospel. It sounds like that God has told me, Jacob, you're saved. The world needs the gospel. Guess who's going to go give it to them? That's your job. Now, can I go all the way across the world and do that? No, I'm just one person. But can I start here in Clovis, New Mexico, spreading the gospel? Sure can. Can I support missions work? Sure can. How about when I travel up and down the road on my trips for the Air Force? Can I leave tracts? Sure do. How about y'all when you go on vacation? Can you hand out tracts in the bathrooms or restaurants, the tips on the tables and stuff to spread the gospel? We can. How about your Facebook accounts that everybody has? Can you put gospel messages and songs on there? Sure can. Because you, all your family doesn't live here, right? They're across the United States. Guess what? You can use that tool to spread the gospel. Are you doing it? That's part of your Judea. That's part of your Samaria. That's part of going forth and doing what God has commanded us to do. You see, you cannot pay the debt back by sitting on your couch on Saturday mornings when soul winning is going on. You cannot win people to Jesus if you never open your mouth to tell them of his name. I understand that the debt that we owe Christ will never be paid. But we should purpose in our hearts to try to pay it back each and every day with our lives. Paul never said that his debt was paid in full, but he did say, I had finished my course that was set before me. Most of us have not even got out of the house to get on the track to start the race. Much less finish. We owe a debt, and we need to start paying it back. We need to start serving God. And quit playing patty cake and make-believe church. Second point is, Paul says in verse 15, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel. Are we ready to preach the gospel? I would dare say no, that we are not. And I'm not talking about getting up in front of the church and giving a sermon. I'm talking about the simple giving of the gospel of Jesus Christ to tell others what he has done for you and for them. But we're not ready. We're not ready to preach. We're not ready to teach. We're not even ready to walk according to his word and his will. It's an amazing thing that we can spend hours a day practicing for a game that lasts an hour. And this time next year, nobody will remember the score or who won. We can spend days preparing for Christmas. We set out lights. We put up trees. We buy gifts. Send cards. Make special candies. Hours upon hours we spend for one day. And then we don't even invite the guest of honor. But when it's time to answer a question about God, we stumble and fail. Because we did not prepare. When it's time to lead someone to the Lord, we stumble through Scripture like it was our first time reading it. Because we didn't prepare. We're not ready to preach. The Word of God commands us to study, to show thyself approved, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. We can easily tell the story of our children. Describe a show that you've seen on TV a couple of days ago. Give play-by-play action of the game that was on last night. It's not a problem. You say, that's easy, Brother Jacob. I was there. I seen it. But did you not have a front row seat the night that Jesus Christ called you to salvation? Was you not there that night? You not understand what He did for you? Can you not tell somebody else? How about the grace of God you were saved? How He tendered your heart? And like that popcorn kernel, you'll never be the same again. Was you not there? Can you not give a play-by-play step from that one? He didn't command us to give sermons. He didn't command us to give long lectures. Go ye therefore and give the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's all He wanted. That's all we're commanded to do. It's easy. But we're not ready to preach. Our lives are not ready to preach. You know, no one should ever have to ask you if you're saved, for your life should preach that itself. There's so many shades of color today, you know, that some of them are very hard to distinguish. I looked it up online, writing this message. For the shade of black, Google said there was 50 different colors of shade of black. And if you were to look at them, a lot of them are so hard to tell apart, you wouldn't even know how they come up with the different names. I don't understand that anyway. This is like most Christian lives today. They have been out in the world so long that you no longer can tell the difference because they all blend in. If our complexions were based on our walks, then we should be a bright orange or a bright yellow. It should be like a pumpkin walking into a coal mine. It should stick out like a sore thumb. But we don't. Like camouflage in a tree hunting deer, we blend right in. Our lives should tell the story of Christ. Each step we take should be someplace that Christ has already stepped for us. As He says, I go before you. Are you walking after Him? Does your life show that you're a child of God? Or do you blend in with the rest of the world? You know, there should be such a difference in our lives that people would ask you, what makes you different? Why are you the way that you are? Why do you always seem joyful? Why are you always smiling? Why are you always singing? Doesn't the world get you down? No, I'm saved! I have Christ in me! How dare I be sad? The greatest thing in the world has ever happened to me, and I'm saved. World can't tell the difference anymore. We all look the same. Our lives should preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. God says in 2 Corinthians 2:17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We should be different. Peculiar people. Come out from among the world and stand like the shining light that God has commanded us to be. We owe a debt, and we need to pay it. Number three, be proud of Christ. Verse 16 says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. If I was to ask everyone to raise your hand if you were ashamed of Christ, well, I bet that nobody would raise your hand. How many, though, would say, I don't go soul winning because I get embarrassed? How many would say, I get nervous or scared when I knock doors? How many would say, I stumble when I try to ask somebody if they're saved? The words just don't come. I get embarrassed. Does fear make you reluctant to give out the gospel or to tell others about Christ? Well, let's look at the definition of ashamed. Shame means embarrassed or guilty because of one's actions or characteristics or association. It goes on to say that shame means reluctant to do something through fear or embarrassment or emulation. Sounds like we're ashamed. I'm not ashamed of Christ, yet every excuse we give is the very definition of the word. and when we stop using the vices of the devil and start using the power of God in our lives. It was love that brought Christ from heaven to earth and then to the cross. And we need to start loving like He loves us. And when we do, we'll be able to stand and proclaim Romans 1:16 with the power and the truth that lies within. We say that we want revival in our hearts, lives, and churches. But we sit ashamed in our houses, unwilling to speak the name of the only begotten. It's time that we start shouting the name of God. We go to ball games and root for our team. We shout the name of our favorite player. It's time that Christ becomes that player. And heaven becomes our home team. By the grace of God through salvation and the redeeming blood of Christ, we are ambassadors to the greatest King that ever walked the face of the earth. What more clout do you need than that? When you get up in the morning, and you have read and prayed, and you begin to walk out your door, your chin should be up in the air. Should be a smile on your face. Your chest should be puffed up. Not in a prideful way. Not in a boastful way. By the grace of God in a proud way. For I am a child of God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. My walk is going to be according to what He wants it to be, and I don't care what the world thinks of me. I don't care what my friends say. I don't care if my neighbors call me a religious fanatic. It's okay. Because Christ called me one of His sons. It is time that we get on fire for God. It is time that we quit worrying about what everybody else thinks about us and start worrying about what God thinks. You worry about the other people because they can see you and they can say something to you. They can point you out. God knows your deepest, darkest secrets. You know what? When we get to heaven, we'll have to answer for it. We're being ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You weren't ashamed the day you come down to the altar and accept Him as your Lord and Savior. So why are you ashamed of proclaiming the day? Why does our lives most of the time testify against Him instead of for Him? Should not be. God forbid. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Where is the power of God and salvation? Because I'm not ashamed, Lord, I give my life to Thee. I'm a debtor to Thee for my salvation. Out of love, I will be a slave to You. I will serve You. Can we make that determination in our heart? Lord, Father, I love You. I thank You for all that You have done. I understand that salvation was a free gift. But Lord, now I love You and I owe You my life. I owe a debt that I'll never pay back, and I understand that. But because of my love for You, Lord, I'm going to serve You. I'm going to give You my all, my 110% each day, God. I'm going to give it to You. I purpose each day, Lord, to tell somebody about my salvation. Wouldn't that be great? New Year's coming, 365 days once again. And we purpose in our hearts each day to tell somebody about our Savior, Jesus Christ. 24 hours in a day, right? Probably takes 15 seconds to tell somebody about Christ. Wow. Isn't that an easy go? Should we have that desire to tell someone each day about our Savior? For I'm not ashamed. But yet I won't tell nobody. Reluctant to give back the gift that we're so graciously give to You. We owe a debt. Number four, the just shall live by faith. By faith we ask Christ into our hearts to be our Savior. But for most of us it stopped right then and there. The same saving faith that you had that day that you asked Christ in your heart should be the same saving faith that you're walking by each and every day. But instead of living day to day in faith, we put our trust in what we can see. We tend to think that we have the answer. and that we know what's best for us. So we take control of our own lives and throw faith by the wayside. The Bible tells us that we should walk by faith and not by sight, 2 Corinthians 5:7. It is time that we stop looking with worldly eyes and start trying to look through the eyes of our Savior Jesus Christ and see what He wants for us. See where He wants us to go. See what He wants us to see. What He wants us to do. It's time we stop being selfish. Give our time and our lives back to Him. Purpose in our hearts to spread the gospel. Purpose in our heart to love like He loves us. You want a revival? Be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. You want a revival? Start paying back the debt that you owe to Him. Start spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that's what the revival is about. It's about Him. Getting closer to Him. Doing His will. Serving Him with everything that is in us. Giving Him 110 instead of just 10. We put our faith in Him for salvation. It's time we put our faith in Him for our lives. There's no better life than the life of Christ. It's high time we start living by faith and not by sight. We owe a debt. It's time we start paying it back. We are commanded to go. We need to go. We are commanded to preach. We need to preach. We are commanded to have faith. We need not be ashamed. He was never ashamed of us. He willingly came down from heaven, walked the face of this earth, died on Calvary for each and every one of us. And when He died on Calvary, He knew every sin that we would commit. But He still said, I love you. I'm going to go. I'm going to die for you. He wasn't ashamed. Why are we ashamed of Him? It's time that we join Paul with a true heart and say, I am a servant of Jesus Christ. I am called to serve. I am separated into the gospel of God, and I'm ready to preach. And oh, by the way, I'm not ashamed anymore. For I love my Lord like He loves me. Are you ashamed? How many people have you told about Jesus Christ this year? Did your life testify for the glory of God? Did you walk a walk of Christ? Or did your walk bring shame upon Him because you were ashamed of Him? It's time we as Christians quit being yellow. Have a backbone. Stand up for what God says we should stand up for. And walk a life of Christ. We owe a debt. In 2017, we should purpose in our heart. Pay it back. Let's stand. Father, Lord, we love You. We thank You for the night. We thank You for Your word. Lord, we thank You for the debt that we never can repay, Lord. Lord, we thank You for our salvation through Your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray if there's a lost one here, for the lost one's salvation. But Lord, for every child of God that's here, I pray that we would purpose in our heart for the years to come. As Paul, Lord, set about to repay the debt. Lord, we owe it to every lost person in this world to give them the gospel that we so freely receive. Lord, we owe it to every child of God to stand firm upon Your word and not bend our knee. Lord, we owe it to Your Son for the sacrifice He made on Calvary tree. Lord, have Your way and Your will in each heart, in each life, and especially mine, Lord. Lord, just use this church in a mighty way and send forth revival. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The altar's open. How about you? Are you fully trusting in God with all your faith and trust and giving it over to Him? Are you serving Him? Do you speak daily of His name? Are you ashamed? Jacob, I'm not ashamed. And why are more people getting saved? Why are more people coming to the Lord? Why are more people serving God? Somebody's got to be ashamed. Boy, if the Lord could cash a check for what we owe Him, He wouldn't get very much, would He? We owe Him our everything. Romans 12:1 says it's our reasonable service. The least that we can do is serve Him. The Apostle Paul, one of the greatest apostles, said, I'm a slave and I'm proud of it. For I love my Lord. And I'm going to pay the debt that I owe to every Gentile. Are you ready to pay it forward? Still time, the altar's still open, they're still praying. How about you tonight? Have you accepted that free gift in your heart? Have you asked Christ to come in? Have you asked Him to be your Savior? Not this time. The day is the day of salvation. Let's have a seat.